Friends, we come to the Bible now, and so won't you turn, if you've got your Bibles there with you, to 2 Corinthians, so the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'll be reading from verse 7, right through to the end of that chapter, but actually, our focus verses this morning will be verses 16 through to 18. So when you get to 16 through to 18, you've got to really pay attention because that's our focus verses. But I'll start reading from verse 7, 2 Corinthians 4. Are you there? If you've got it on your phones, that's great as well. But I'll read from verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is the word of the Lord. Let me pray for us as we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for speaking to us in the Bible. And Lord, as we come to this passage today, I pray that this will equip us to face the new year as believers. And it will help us to firmly trust in the Lord Jesus. For his sake we pray. Amen. Amen. Right, keep your Bibles open in front of you, won't you? It'll be a big help to you and to me. And welcome to those who've just come in. As you look down, the verb lose heart that you see there comes five times in the New Testament. When you look at the word in its original language, it means to weaken, to grow weary, to tire of, to lack courage, to neglect one's duty, to fail to discharge one's responsibilities. And so that's what's going on. Can we see as we look down, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Lose heart, it's the opposite of the great Bible word, perseverance. And in the New Testament, there's this constant warning to Christians that in place of perseverance, we might in fact give up. Verse 16, lose heart. I guess it's especially the case in the more mature and established Christians, this danger of giving up, not turning away from the faith, but becoming indifferent, losing our keenness, our passion, becoming apathetic. Perhaps we've been Christians for many years, and there's a sense in which we've seen it all before and we've heard it all before, so it's a little bit of a sense of deja vu. We still believe the gospel, we do, but we don't really expect it to make kind of massive changes in our lives or in the lives of the people around us. So it's a little bit like kind of gospel New Year's resolutions, if you like. We have what we call a realistic view of them, which is that they're all very well in their own way, but they probably won't last very long or have that much impact. And so gradually as Christians, we've kind of learned to come to terms with, well, what is it? Broken dreams, broken bodies, broken homes, broken lives, broken relationships, our disappointments, our weaknesses, maybe with the behavior of fellow Christians who also disappoint us. And yet, of course, we are Christian and we are glad to be Christian, but we are actually, verse 16, in danger of losing heart. And as far as working for Christ goes, if we're really honest, we're sort of freewheeling. In fact, we might even be backpedaling a bit compared to those early days when we were back, when we look back on our Bible reading, our prayer, our Christian service, our efforts to speak about Jesus to our friends. Well, now, if we're honest, we are beginning to, verse 16, weaken. Now we're beginning to grow weary, to lose heart, to tire, to lack courage, to fail to discharge our responsibilities. Now, friends, what I want to say to us all this morning is that actually this is normal. It's to be expected. The New Testament instructs us so much on this losing heart issue because it's a prevalent, contagious spiritual infection, which actually in all of our lives is there because by nature, as sinful people, we find it far easier to lose heart than we actually do to carry on going, to persevere. And so as I speak of losing heart, you're thinking to yourself, well, yeah, I can identify with that. I know that can be true for me. And so the question this morning is, what is the secret of perseverance? How did Paul manage? Here's my question this morning, friends. How did Paul manage verses 8 and 9? Have a look at verses 8 and 9. It's extraordinary. Do you see? He says, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Do you see it there? Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. How does he do it? What are the spiritual antibodies that he's got in his system so that these but nots can happen? And so Paul says here, verse 8, I've often been perplexed in my ministry, and the verb has a sense of all ideas have fled so that the mind has been left vacant and bewildered, utterly at a loss. Have you ever had that? That you've been so kind of hard hit by something. I mean, I had a phone call once, and I remember the phone went down, and 45 minutes later, I was still kind of thinking about it because I was trying to absorb what had been said. I was utterly at a loss. And Paul says, although at times I've been at my wit's end like that, I've never been reduced to total helplessness, hopelessness. Perplexed, yes, but not in despair. He says, I've been persecuted. I've been hunted like a wild animal. On occasions, I've actually been struck down. So the one time mentally flawed, the other time physically flawed. But I've never given up because I've never felt abandoned. I've always managed to beat the countdown and get up on my feet no matter how hard the punch. They can beat me up, but they cannot eliminate me. Or as one commentator once translated here, they can knock me out, but they cannot. They can knock me down, but they cannot knock me out. So how does Paul manage this perseverance? Don't you want to know? I want to know. How does he do it? Because we need to know if we're going to remain Christian. And as we make a stand for the truth in 2026, in Donegal here, in Dublin or in South Africa, wherever you are, Paul had this extraordinary physical and emotional resilience to all the hardships and afflictions that came because of, friends, the power and the resurrection of Jesus. Let's have a look at verse 10 to 12. This is the answer. Do you see verse 10? We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to the death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. For Paul, the resurrection wasn't confined to some future life kind of beyond the grave. It was already part of his experience. There was a kind of symbiosis of attachment between him and Jesus. They died and they lived together. They were fused in union in their experience and in their destiny. Have a look down. Do you see verse 14? Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, do you see, will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. Now, a church, friends, that believes that cannot be conquered. Whatever is happening in the culture, if you believe that this is the eternal reality, that the one who raised Jesus will raise us and present us in his presence, it means that you cannot be defeated, for even death has been destroyed, and your ultimate destiny is to be in Christ's presence. And it's as though Paul is saying, look, the resurrection of Jesus, it's like this glowing, it's almost like a nuclear reactor radiating the energy of the world that is to come. And can you see the spiritual reality in verse 15? Friends, it's so objective. Do you see it goes in two directions? The resurrection applies both horizontally and vertically. Horizontally, do you see verse 15? Have a look there. So the grace of God that is reaching more and more people, do you see it goes around the world, vertically may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. And the question surely is how? How? How can this resurrection power of Jesus glow within us like a nuclear reactor? And as he writes this, you know, we came across it at the beginning of our reading. It's as though he calls us a jar of clay. He says, look, it's like a paper cup. Our bodies are like paper cups. You know, but I mean, that's what they are. I wish I had a nuclear reactor inside of here. But he's saying that inside this paper cup is the nuclear reactor of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus in this paper cup. We are so weak, but in us is this incredible, radiating, supernatural spiritual strength so that others are converted and the Lord Jesus and God is glorified. Well, again, I want to know, don't you? I want to know the secret of this power that keeps me persevering, that'll keep me persevering. And we're given three heavenly reasons for earthly change and perseverance here. Can we have a look down at our Bibles and see the first one? It'll come up on the screen, I think. There we go. You'll persevere in 2026 if you value the spiritual over the physical. In verse 16, can we see as we look down, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Can you see the first reason that Paul was able to endure anything that happened to him physically that crushed kind of his jar of clay, his paper cup, his body, was because he was far more concerned with what was happening in the spiritual realm. He knew that his body, his internal parts, the function of his brain, was decaying. And please see that this is present tense. Do you see as we look down, verse 16, we are wasting away. And as I look out of you, at some of you, that is very, very, very true. We are wasting away. So to begin with, he's speaking about the normal process of aging, which we're all experiencing, aren't we, from one degree of joy to another. But Paul was getting old, not just because he was wasting away physically. It wasn't just the natural process. It was also the kind of life that he lived. He lived the kind of life that sped up the aging process. He wore himself out. He gave himself away for the gospel. And the toll of it was immense. I mean, if he took off his shirt, you would see the scars and the wounds and the welts. And the emotional strain of the churches turning their backs on him. And so he says, take a look at chapter 11, won't you? Just page forward or scroll down in your on your app. Chapter 11, verse 24. I mean, imagine what this cost him. Verse 24, chapter 11. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I mean, imagine what this did to him. And he carries on. He says, verse 27, I have labored and toiled, and I've often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst, and I've often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all of the churches. And so for Paul, the relentless hostility and suffering took its toll. It was unnatural. Imagine what it did to his heartbeat. Our hearts only have so many beats, and his were being used up fairly quickly, I think. And yet, in the middle of all of this, he triumphantly proclaims, chapter 4, verse 16, yet inwardly we are being renewed. Day by day. Inside was this increasing glow of the nuclear reactor or the resurrection power. And so what he's saying is this. He's saying in direct correlation to the dying of the outer man was the growth and the maturing of the inner man. He knew that inside, God was sovereign, in control of his circumstances, making all things work together for his good, so that he'd become more like Christ. He knew that inside, in his heart and soul, there was this continuous work taking place, present tense, yet inwardly we are being renewed. It's amazing. And as we see this, we're told, this is where you place your hope. Yes, you are falling apart outwardly, but inwardly you are being renewed. The paper cup has within it the life-giving power of the resurrection of Christ. And friends, you know, time and time again in my ministry, I've watched Christian people die. I've visited them in hospital over the last few days of their lives. I think of one woman, you know, she so radiated the Lord Jesus Christ that as she was dying, I noticed that there were 4 tubes that were going into her body. I noticed them. The nurses around her called her Gabby after the angel Gabriel because they could see that she was shining as her body fell apart. It was an amazing thing. I remember walking out of there just weeping. And Paul says, you will endure. You will carry on going. You will persevere as you value the inner man, the inner woman, over the outer. When you value spiritual strength over physical strength. What does it matter? Of what consequence is what happens to you physically? It's only significant as it produces a greater spiritual inner strength. That is how to live above your troubles. And so the question, therefore, is this. Do you value more what is happening to your soul than to your body? Secondly, as we move on, you will persevere if you value the future over the present. Have a look down. Do we see as we go on, verse 17? For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So can you see here, this is so striking, that Paul towers above his troubles because rather than hurting him, they not only make him spiritually stronger, verse 16, they're also attaining for him a greater weight of eternal glory. And so here's the issue. I mean, can you believe it? The more his persecutors persecute him, the greater the weight of glory becomes. Isn't that amazing? It means that forever and ever and ever, he will enjoy the reward of his suffering. And so he says, kind of, bring on the persecutions. Bring them on. The present life matters so little to him in the light of the great future reality. It's all about perspective. He says, listen, get the scales out. Start doing the balancing. On the one hand are all the afflictions that you're facing, the pain, the beatings, the battles, the sleepless nights, the persecutions. You can probably relate to that, many of you, at one level or another. On one side is the fact that when he arrived in a city, Paul, he didn't say, what are the hotels like? He said, what are the jails like? And on the other side is the eternal glory. Now, what is this eternal glory like? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has ever conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I want you to imagine the greatest moment in your life. Now take that moment and multiply it by infinity and multiply its duration by eternity. That is what it will be like seeing the Lord Jesus face to face. And he weighs the two up. And as he sees the brightness and the splendor of the Lord Jesus Christ, this amazing perspective enables him, have a look down at the verse, to say, my present troubles are light and momentary. Light and momentary. Can you believe it? Light and momentary. But Paul, you've had years of it. And it's going on and on and on. And you ended up being beheaded in jail. And it was all the time, every day. It never goes away. And light, the word actually is elaphrus, which actually means a weightless trifle. It means a piece of fluff, you know, that you take off of your jumper. All this suffering, all these beatings, Paul says, like a piece of fluff. You know, that's all it is. In comparison with what I'm going to have. And I'm not being a Christian scientist here saying that there's no pain, that there's no suffering. There is pain. There is suffering. Pain is pain. Suffering is suffering. Paul doesn't deny that it's real. What he denies is that it matters. So it is real, but it isn't important. It is light and momentary. It's a bit of fluff. Actually, it's more than fluff because it produces a weight of glory. That's the positive effect. For Paul, the scales were utterly tipped towards the future. His present pain to him was like it was almost like a child falling and grazing his knee on the playground. You know what that's like. I mean, they howl, they scream for a few minutes. You say, there, you kiss it better. And a few minutes later, it's all forgotten. Paul said it's like that. Sore for a bit, get home. It's like nothing happened. And that is how he viewed decades and decades and decades of suffering. As light, as momentary, as fluff. Huh. Well, let's close.
Thirdly,
you'll persevere if you value the invisible over the visible. Let's have a look at verse 18 as we come to a close here. Verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, I have a pastor friend, and he had cancer, and amazingly he's recovered from that cancer. He's okay now, but at one point he was in hospice, And since he was in that hospice, he was an ordained guy, and he was a Christian, and he decided to run one of these Hope Explored courses that we've been speaking about for a while now. It looks at Luke's gospel. And he ran 5 courses over a period of time for about 60 people, he tells me. And he says that during the course of those courses, 52 of those people died during the course. And his most agonizing moment of leading, he told me, was the second group. And he said there was one young woman in that group, and she said, "I believe that Jesus is God. I believe that he died and he rose again. I believe that there is a judgment to come, but I won't become a Christian because there is just too much to give up." And she said, "I'm not going to do it. There's too much to give up." And the next day she died. The next day she died. Now that is someone who, although she was terminally ill, had their eyes fixed on what is seen and on what is temporary. And friends, the secret to perseverance is the exact opposite. And so can I ask you this morning, where are your eyes fixed? Where are your eyes fixed as we come to 2026? Where are they fixed? And the word here, as we look down, for fixed our eyes, has actually the sense of a telescope. You know, a telescope of scrutiny, of kind of intense focus, focused on what is unseen, with Jesus central, from Scripture, each day, looking ahead to the glory that awaits. And that, brothers and sisters, is how to flourish in 2026. For we value the spiritual over the physical. We value the future over the present. We value the invisible over the visible. And it's all about the Lord Jesus as we focus in on him. And we find that he walks off of the pages of Scripture. We focus in on him like a telescope. We look to him. And as we do that, our troubles are momentary. They're like fluff. And we're able to face anything, anything. Indeed, the worse it is, the more that we say, "Oh, this is changing me to become more and more like the Lord Jesus." Oh, wonderful. What strength it is. What strength it is. Let's pray together. Our Father God, we cry to you as we wrap up 2025 and as we look ahead to another year. Lord, please enable us by your Spirit, with the resurrection power within us, within these jars of clay, to value the spiritual over the physical, the future over the present, the invisible over the visible. Help us, please, to focus in our eyes on Jesus. And as we do that, please, Lord, glorify your name, we pray. Amen.